主の彼方に光る星、
Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live today from beautiful Mount Shasta in the fourth and fifth dimensions. I am so happy that you're all here today, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us. I'll be interviewing my friends. I call them my friends now because they are my friends, who all came with me to Mount Shasta here last week, and we've got some incredible stories. Both James and I and other people on the trip went on board a Pleiadian mothership and met Admiral Halosaurus. The ship was half organic and half metal. Many of us were given healings on board the ship. We also went into Telos underneath Mount Shasta, a beautiful city that's in the fifth dimension. Many of us went into healings as well in Telos. We have some incredible stories to tell, incredible stories of healing, miracle healings. I hope we can get, there's a wonderful lady named Renee whose eyesight was restored to perfectly normal after being nearsighted for decades. We have Deborah on the line from beautiful Long Island, New York, where the Telosians did surgery, etheric surgery on her sciatic nerve in her wrist, and now it's more or less completely healed. But we have an incredible show today, and I'm so glad that you're all here. The purpose of this show, of course, is to make this world a better place. And I know that if we all work together, we can make this world a much better and happier place. Out of This World Radio has hundreds of thousands of listeners in many countries worldwide. And I thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. The program is entirely donation-based. And if you'd like to donate, the cost is just $5 a month or $50 for the year. Please go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net, and you can donate there with one of the PayPal buttons. I want to thank Doug and Don at BBS for all their fantastic help. They always do a good job for me, and I really appreciate it. I also have two other shows in Miami, Florida, as well as in Vienna, Austria. Yesterday in Miami, I had on Polly Tommy, who's the executive producer and director of the Vax 2 movie, wonderful lady from England. And if you'd like to listen to that interview, please go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net. It should be up here within the next day or two if you don't see it. I also broadcast out of Vienna, Austria on Mondays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Pacific time, or 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central European time as well. That program is in both English and German. During this first hour, we'll be going over our trip to Mount Shasta, visits to a Pleiadian mothership, visits to Telos and the Hollow Earth. And then during the second hour, I'll be doing some prayers for the fires, new fires now in California. I've got some very interesting pictures of the fires and what happened in Southern Oregon around Talent, Oregon. The amazing thing about these pictures is that you'll see a trailer park where once maybe 1,000 people lived. Now it's all rubble. But what's interesting about these pictures is that if you look at the pictures closely, all the trees are alive. All the shrubs are still there. Many of the grass and the flower gardens are still there. And it was like a beam, if you will, a particle beam weapon came in from the atmosphere and hit all these different places. But anyway, we'll go over that during the second hour. I am continuing to raise money for food and clean water for the beautiful Hopi Indians in Arizona. And I especially want to thank corporate support from American Airlines for their contributions, as well as the support of President Trump in this effort. President Trump has been instrumental in urging corporate America to help the Hopi Indians. It's the first time in recent history that corporations have actually banded together and helped the poor Hopi Indians. For the past 60 or 70 years, they've been drinking water that's been contaminated with radiation and arsenic. And so their longevity, their lifespans for men on the reservation is only about 44 years. And for women, it's only about 54 years. I don't find my friends and I do not accept this. And we're working very hard to change it. So far, we've raised over $35,000 for clean water filters for the Hopi with American Airlines help. They're raising another $20,000. And these water filters go into the homes all over the reservation, and so that they simply filter the water so it's nice and clean, a basic human right. Also, the food supplies have been cut to the Hopi because of the virus. Many drivers are refusing to go into the reservation, but we have so far raised over $5,000 or $6,000 to pay for Food for the Hopi, $600 or $700 will feed several hundred families for at least a week. We have the help of Walmart in Flagstaff, Arizona, which has been donating some food to us as well and providing a lot of help. So I want to thank the corporate management of Walmart as well. But believe me, it's a total grassroots effort with many donations coming in from all over the world. You know, if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier planet. The vibrations today, I'm in Mount Shasta, still in Mount Shasta. The vibrations are extremely high. The mountain itself is shifted into the fourth dimension. By the end of the year, it will be in the fifth dimension. And I will be having all my friends on the show now in a few minutes to talk about their experiences. It was very easy for us to go on board a Pleiadian mothership because the Pleiadians are in the fifth dimension. We're here in the fourth dimension of Mount Shasta. So it's easier to go from four to five than it is from three to five. But anyway, we've got some incredible stories to tell. I want to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to talk to the angels on the other side, as well as benevolent extraterrestrials. And I guess readings too. I've been talking to the other side now for about 25, 26 years. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States and Canada at 509-750-9793. I've also published a book called Messages from the Masters. I published it a couple of years ago now, but it's still relevant. It's messages from Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, Robert F. Kennedy, Nikolai Tesla, and President Kennedy, many other beautiful spirits on our beautiful, bright future. It includes a free reading. And if you'd like one, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Finally, as the vibrations of planet Earth continue to rise, I always like to start my show with a 528 hertz tuning fork. 528 hertz is the frequency of love. And when you hit this, love goes everywhere. I've got a Lemurian crystal from Mount Shasta. I'm going to hit it. So that's the frequency of love. And when you're hearing this now, you're bathing yourself in love. I'll hit it twice more. And one more time. A tuning fork and crystal is just $50 within the United States. So if you'd like, please go to my new website at outofthisworldreadings.com, and you can order one along with other things as well. Well, I'd like to welcome all of you, James, Deborah, and Brad, onto the show. We will hopefully have a couple more people joining us on the show. And James, please introduce yourself briefly, and then Deborah, and then Brad, and then we'll go back to you, James, and you can tell your incredible story of what happened to you at Mount Shasta. Go ahead, James.
I went to Mount Shasta by watching earlier shows, and I was a aircraft mechanic over here, and this is something lured me over there, so I just went down there with you. And actually, I was supposed to, expecting to see the Emerald and the people from Tello Earth physically, but I didn't do that. I see it with my third eye, so that's how I met them, yeah.
Great, that's beautiful. Deborah, go ahead and tell us, just introduce yourself if you can, and then we'll come back to you and you can tell your story.
Sure. My name is Deborah Marshall. I am from Sag Harbor, New York. I have a business called Earth Goddess, and I'm a certified crystal healer, and I heal people, humans, animals, spaces. I work with the earth, helping the earth to heal, and I teach classes. And that's pretty much it. I have an Instagram and Facebook, mdeborah24 on Instagram, and Earth Goddess at 8889 on Facebook.
You're so modest, Deborah. You're an excellent, fantastic healer. No, you really help people. You gave some amazing healings during the trip, and you were a bright, white, shining light for everyone during the trip. And so thanks. The Telosians, the Lemurians, and the Pleiadians, including Admiral Halosaurus, all really enjoyed meeting you. So don't be so humble.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Making me blush.
Oh, well, you're a great, great person, very sweet soul and good healer. So I wanted to tell that to everyone. And what's your name, sir, again? Brad, is that right?
Hey, by the way, Ted, you know, I just have to second those compliments with Deborah. I was fortunate enough to spend a Friday afternoon where we kind of went all over the mountain and we had some great experiences all over the place. It was great to get to know her. And yes, she is an amazing healer and she knows crystals really, really well. I'm sure we'll get into that here in just a minute. Yeah, but I am Brad Peterson. I am from the Bay Area of California, Silicon Valley area. So it's interesting for me because it's about a 350-mile drive, you know, six hours or so. And so I was fortunate enough to go up and join the group in August and have a phenomenal week. We have so many pictures and videos and we're connected together as a group, as you suggested, Ted. So that was amazing, the relationships you make. And then, you know what? I just couldn't get enough. You know, a month later when September came and it was time to do it again, I shot up just for the weekend just to run into some folks and certainly Deborah and some others and had a wonderful time as well. So I'm not a healer. I'm a healee, I think, maybe. And thanks for healing me.
great, Brad. It's so good to see you. It really is. You're all beautiful people. We'll hopefully be having a few more folks joining us here. But James, I want to start with you first. And tell us some incredible experiences. You went on board the mothership, didn't you? Tell us what happened then.
Let's start with Thursday on the 24th, right? And okay. We were waiting for you to show up. And you were saying you're going to show up at 6, but we didn't see you until 9. So we're just waiting and waiting. We look up to the sky, and around 7 p.m.-ish, we saw the big, bright laser light across the sky. Huge, bright laser light across the sky. Wow. And it moved sideways real, real fast. And we didn't know what happened, but then I was supposed to need air more, right? And like moving sideways real fast, I think faster than speed of the UFO or airplane, real, real fast. And dissipate slowly in phase out. And on Friday, we just bumping around. I found an energy fountain by Bunny Hill, Bunny Flat, and that's that. And on Saturday, I went to Talos, right? And you tell me there'll be a shuttle stop. All I see is like a saber-tooth tiger roaring at me. And I don't know why. I just went past it. And from there, I went to see the orange houses in the village. And I saw somebody was having a lunch over there. They invited me over for lunch. Mm-hmm. So later on, he took me to the Pleiadian ship. No, that was Sunday. Okay. I went up to a Pleiadian ship. You told me, go look outside the window. You saw see the earth and see a console. I didn't see that. I see this like a 8-foot tall alien and pulled me toward this pool right here. So I went in there. I went in there and take a bath over there. And I was told the energy level, at that time I was told the energy level between the Pleiadian and reptilian are so far away, they don't meet each other. Only time they meet is like if they're riding around you in UFO and Pleiadian will see them, they'll blow them out of the sky. And so only time they ever meet is the human in between. Pleiadian and human are closer and human to the reptilian are closer. And so they use human as intermediate. And they need human to come to fight the reptilian. And reptilian gave the technological triangle ship to the to humans. So humans fly around with this triangle ship. And so Pleiadian will not touch them. And from Monday, I went to I see a robot again. But this time, the pool is drained. I saw this, told me to go into the status chamber in here. And there's two cops post outside.
Okay.
And from there, they were hooking me up with all the devices in the status chamber. Mm-hmm. And I was ordering the fleet around, organized into this tight square cube formation. Mm-hmm. around this position over here.
Okay.
And I see it's magenta blue light, and there's a red circle blue light on top of it. I leave the other half side empty, but this side totally locked down. At that time, I was told they have to wait for something, and have to hold it for 3 years. Mm. And from there, on Monday 28th, I was doing an experiment at, down there by Mount Shasta Town, and see if I can board a ship. Actually, I board a ship within a living room. And I saw this female, because she got a bumpy chest, so I can tell it's a female. And I saw like a Star Trek emblem on her chest. Something like this, something like, can you see this?
Move it up a little bit, down slightly, perfect. That looks like a Star Trek emblem. And what's interesting is that Gene Roddenberry said he was contacted by benevolent extraterrestrials when he was writing Star Trek, the script for Star Trek. And Brad and Deborah, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but that's where many of the things came through. The policy of, you know, non-interference with civilizations, the concept of warp speed, the concept of, what's this? Now, there's a sequence of numbers. Tell us about that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I keep on looking at her chest, right? And there's a numbers on the first one is, let me read it. It's a 59132000001. It's a ship number. Later on, we check it out. It's the Pladinian mothership. In the back, it's a 00002. That's her crew member number. They use this number on the chest as an access card. Go to our ship, it's like a company SS car, and they can swipe anywhere, they can get in our ship anywhere. Depends on where you are. If you're an engineer, you can go engineer and stuff like that. And 00002 is a captain, the female captain. And 00001 is reserved for the Admiral. Admiral can hop between ships.
Oh, that must be Admiral Halosaurus then, 00001. Because that's who I know and talk to.
Yeah. And I saw that. Take a dimension. Oh, I was told at that time, they're going to take a dimension away from the reptilian and give to human. So Earth will gain a dimension. Reptilians go down to compress down to two dimensions. It's like they are like cardboards on the blackboard, or mm-hmm. what you see on TV moving around. It's all 2D. To them, it's real, but it's they are living a 2D world, and wow. The Earth will gain a dimension, go to a fifth dimension.
Interesting.
And then while I was on Wednesday, I was. Morning, we all went to a Pladanian ship again, and we saw the light blue curtain around the bathtub for healing, and I confirmed the color with you. And driving down to Sacramento, I confirmed with you that on the about hour and a half into the drive, I saw Jaylin got out of the bathtub, and I also saw the Emerald's uniform color. That's just called bright pink. Mm-hmm. And then I also saw that gave me a uniform, and I had the same colors as Emerald's uniform. Mm-hmm. And a code on top 0005, And I asked them, why is 00005? They say it's ambassador's number. I can't get in and out. But ever since I have a problem getting to a ship again, because I went into a lower vibration area.
I see, yeah.
And on Thursday, I bought a mothership just for a test, right? And I saw this 00002. The captain had this black ball in her hand, and somehow she separated out to individual black feather. And I saw this thick black mirror thing, and they say you can check out your karma and your situation with your past life. I was real curious, right? I walk in there, see so beautiful purple and blue light. But somebody told me if everything shown here will not be private anymore. And so I got out of it. So it prevented from ship knowing too much of me. So that's all though there is.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's an amazing story, James. That's wonderful. I'm in touch myself with Admiral Halosaurus of the Pleiadian craft. And I actually have quarters on board the vessel because I'll be on the ship in the future working as a crewman and officer for them in my next life. So anyway, James, we'll hang tight, my friend. Brad or Deborah, who'd like to go first or next?
I'll go. I'm feeling kind of nervous and I have a lot of thoughts swirling around in my head. I want to start by saying I flew American Airlines.
Great. Great airline. Great. They support the Hopi. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I had a little issue when I arrived at the airport in Medford because I forgot to bring my credit card, and they were giving me a hassle about renting a car. I had my debit card. I had cash. And anyway, this angel stepped up and she helped me, and it ended up being cheaper and on site. And when I got to my car, the license plate read 111.
Oh, how wonderful. That's amazing. Yeah, hi, Don.
Which just delighted me. And then, you know, I had a really nice drive down to California. It was very exciting and empowering. Uh-huh. Played some good music. And, you know, it's just a different terrain, lot more trucks. And I had never been to something called a brake check, where you, I guess, you know, like you yeah. stop. I guess they, yeah. you know, I was like, wow, what's this brake check? You know, am I going to have to stop? And I did, I had to stop. And then they just kind of wave to you and you keep going. And, you know, I saw this sign, welcome to California. And, you know, it was very easy to get to the site. I think it's called Red Fir Flat on Mount Shasta. It was still light when I got there. Wasn't sure where to pitch my tent. I found like this bowl of dirt and just stuck it up there.
Deborah.
Yeah.
You got to tell us what happened. You went up to Ascension Rock and you were given the healing. Could you share that with my listeners? I think they'd like that.
Well, there's two Ascension Rocks, okay? So there's the one that's really close to the campsite, right, where I first just went to by myself and meditated. And then there was the Ascension Rock that Brad was so kind to give me a tour of. And actually, the first time Brad took me to that Ascension Rock, I was drawn to this one area, and I reached my hand in and I pulled this out. And you don't know about this, Ted.
Dun, dun.
But I pulled this out of Ascension Rock.
You did? My goodness.
Not initially. It took a 24-hour
Yeah. Period. Well, first we communicated. And yeah. I asked, it's a pendulum, for those who don't know. And it's a clear quartz pendulum. And I attuned to the pendulum. And I asked it if I could take it. And it said no. So I put it back. And then Brad and I took another hike to Ascension Rock. We were taking some people, I guess, who hadn't been there yet. And I was kind of learning the ropes. Like, and it turned out really good because you had me lead the group there after you left, Brad.
Yeah, you were checked out. You were a full-fledged tour guide, certified.
Yep. But when I went back with Ted and the other people, I said to Ted, "Oh, I want to go visit my friend." And I couldn't find the crystal. And Brad was so kind; he had it. He knew exactly where it was. And so I reached my hand in again, and I asked the pendulum if it wanted to come with me, and it gave me a very large yes, kind of like this. But as far as my healing goes, when we went on the ship, is that what you're referring to, Ted? When we were doing the group meditation?
Right. And they worked their sciatic nerve, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we all went in on the ship, and then I went into a crystal bath, and it was a rose quartz bath, and they replaced my wrist. They gave me a brand new one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've seen those on sale at Walmart. Sometimes you can get a good deal on them, but I'm glad they did that for you. So.
Yeah, me too. And it's working really good. I'm being gentle with it, just like because sure. It's new and it was surgery. Today was the first day I went back to my yoga practice, my home yoga practice, and mm-hmm. I have to say I'm very pleased. Thank you.
Great. Oh, what a beautiful story.
Yeah, I also snuck down to that other room where we got to take the vacations, and I took a quick trip to Hawaii, but we had to come back. You drew us back before I got to immerse too far into that vacation.
I'm sorry. I really am. If I'd known you were in Hawaii, I would have never, never taken you out. I can't remember what we were doing. I always try to pack in a lot during the trip. So anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Next time, maybe.
Next time.
And I just want to give one shout out that I did meet my soul sister, April. And I knew she was my soul sister because she said when I first met her that the mountain was calling her. And that was exactly what I was saying. The mountain was calling me. And she brought those crystal bowls. And we had one of my favorite days was us just playing in the woods like pixie fairies with those crystal bowls. And it was actually me, April, and Dora. We had this amazing meditation where we brought in this huge shaft of light, and it was shaped in a triangle, kind of like you were saying, James, you were talking about the triangle. This was shaped in a triangle. I had my eyes closed, but I could feel it and see it. And I could see even with my eyes closed. And it was just going right down into the earth. And then we shot it out all the way across the earth. And it was incredible. And then when we were done, that raven that was on the campsite who was hanging out with us?
Oh, that raven was talking like crazy. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So when we were done, and I had asked before we went into the woods to get a message from the raven just flew over our heads and did its like kind of quack, quack. We were just like, wow.
Well, that actually was sent by Edgar Allan Poe, where he said, quote, the raven nevermore. Never mind. But anyway, I think he was, the raven was trying to tell us something. Either he was complaining about some of the smoke in the air, or he wanted a cup of coffee, or he was looking for his family, or maybe he and his wife got in a fight and they were arguing. I don't know. It's hard to tell what was happening, but.
Yeah. So the raven showed up, and then I got a message, Ted, and it was very interesting because it turned out that you got the same message that you shared with us later at Ascension Rock. And I got the message for April, Dora and I, that we were to go home and start our own meditation healing circles and share the light from Mount Shasta in our communities. And I got that very strongly. And then you gave us the same message a few days later on Ascension Rock to all of us, to the whole group.
Right.
Which was just like a validation and a confirmation. So I'm working on that now. A space was offered to me before I came down here. So I just have to contact Dan. And I've already set up a time, it's right. Pretty much going to be like Saturday morning. So 10 o'clock, 10 to 11. So. Okay. I guess that's it, unless you want to ask me any more questions. I mean, there's so much to.
We'll bring you back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Back. Okay. And then I want to say hi to Don. Thank you so much for coming on, Don. We'll bring you on in just a minute. I'll bring on Brad next, and then we'll go to Don here. Brad, how are you doing?
Hey, great. Deborah, that was a fantastic story. I loved it. Our journey together to find your pendant crystal was amazing. It was really interesting seeing how she communicated with that pendant. First off, she found it. It came to her and she established communication. She said, in what way would you actually confirm or say yes to me? And it sort of swirled in a circle. In what way would you say no to me? And then it sort of went back and forth toward and away from her. So she established a dialogue and then asked it a series of questions. And as we first found it, it was not ready. You know, it hadn't completed its mission yet. It was in Ascension Rock and it needed more time there. But I'm glad to see that as we went back, it definitely chose you. And I know you have other crystals in your place and they're in different parts and you give them names. And I can't wait to hear, you know, the location this crystal has decided to choose and maybe the name at some point as well.
Well,
yeah, there is no name, but right now it's living on my altar, my meditation altar. So, and I actually had another pendulum there, which I sort of put in the old pendulum museum.
Oh no, already relegated. Well, you know, you taught me a lot. And, you know, one of the things, Ted, I wanted to share was the fact when you go up there, you're on the mountain, of course, and the energy is beautiful. I think while I was there for that first week in August, I just didn't eat or drink much at all. I felt so light and I was running up and down the mountains. I had just infinite energy. I'd wake up every night at 3:30 in the morning, just wide awake and looking through the top of the tent and just connecting with the billion stars that were up there. It was so amazing. But even when you come off the mountain, you go down to Mount Shasta, the city, and there's all these crystal shops. And that's where, you know, I picked up on my moldavite. So let me go ahead and share that, right? Deborah, you remember that, right?
Oh, I love your moldavite.
That's
so
beautiful.
Special.
Yeah, you know, and it's got this really cool sort of silver, you know, mounting so on. And it's just this crystal. And you can see it's so amazing. And, you know, I don't know a lot about it, but I guess it's from a meteor that hit the Czech Republic, you know, years ago. And so you can only really find it in one place in the world. And all the different crystal shops, they'll have little rock formations of them. And you can buy all sorts of things up there. If that's all you go for, that's an amazing trip, too. But I put the word out that I was really looking for an amazing piece of moldavite. And, boy, I got a text from one of the gentlemen that really knew what he was talking about in August timeframe, and he pulled me over. And so I was fortunate to carry that and wear that. And for some reason, I think Deborah thinks it was designed for me. It sort of fits.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's super cool. So I did carry that with me everywhere I went. Gave me tons of energy. And I know in September when I joined you guys, the road was cut off at Bonnie Flat. So the only way to get up to Panther Meadow and really the top of the mountain was to just really walk the whole way. So we did that, you know, Deb and I, and there was a long journey of about 1.7 miles and then into Panther Meadow, which is a place you just sit. It's the most beautiful place out there. You can just meditate right there for sure. And there's this little tree at the very top that has all these fingers that go up, a pine tree.
Oh, you know, right. The wishing tree. Legs.
The wishing tree.
The wishing tree.
You jump right inside sort of the palm of the wishing tree. Uh-huh. And, you know, I would sort of touch all the branches. And you would do your wish, you would do your meditation. I mean, my entire body lit up. It was just on fire, just tingling away. You know, the first time I did it was the most powerful. And yet I've done it several times since. Deborah, your experience there too?
Yeah, I didn't know it was a wishing tree. I love trees. I actually have one here in Sag Harbor that I call Mama. But like to go into those trees, my experience was I had a huge, my heart chakra just opened. It was just like, whew, whew, whew. That was my experience. I could just feel my heart chakra opening in those trees. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's super powerful, and you can just sit there forever and take photos and just bring them with you. And what's interesting is you can the spring that comes up out of Telos right there, and the Babbling Brook, you can drink right out of it. And of course, we all went down to City Park down in the city to the bigger spring down there with your gallon jug. In fact, you know, I think I got a little right here. A little Telos water in my gallon jug. It's like so sweet and pure and amazing water. It's taking a little bit of the mountain with you, you know, right? Yeah. So that's quite amazing as well. I think the other thing that was powerful for me, a couple of things, was is in the August trip, some people would come that just knew Ted. They just knew Ted was on the mountain. I think they could just feel it. And there were some spiritually powerful, beautiful people, and they came. And they would stay till 12:30 as we were all around the campfire, just sharing secrets and experiences. And there was only four of us left, and we went out deep into the forest to look for Sasquatch. Ted, I don't even know if you know about this. And no. I trusted they knew what they were doing. They right. walked around like they did. Right. So we got such an education out there in the middle of darkness. It was a full moon, though. At least we had that. And you could see where, you know, all these trees were sort of beaten down into a nest and formations. They could see the patterns and all this sort of stuff. And cool. we were telling stories like you wouldn't believe about med beds and all this other crazy stuff. And then it was about 2:30. It's about time to go back. And, you know, it's like when the person that took you deep into the forest says it's time to go back, and they're going like, I wonder which way to go. It's a good thing I have a reasonable sense of direction. I kind of knew the trail was this way, boom, bang, bing, bang, boom, and we were home. So it was like one experience after another. The other night, we go up to the top of the very mountain, and it was a full moon. It was probably the night after this. And there were 20, 40, 50, 60 people in a circle. And I took some videos of this. Drums going, fire blazing, you know, just spiritual connections happening everywhere you can imagine. And you're having these conversations, and you're looking at someone and just, you know, shooting star this way, a big, huge green sort of meteor flying that way. It's like, you know, where else would you want to be, right? So it was wonderful. And Ted, you know, the highlight for me was when we did go to the closer Ascension Rock and you sat us all down and we went deep into meditation. And you explained, you know, you may or may not have a physical encounter into Hollow Earth, into Telos, but you may have something on the astral plane.
Right.
And so, you know, we went into meditation, and I did sort of fall deeper than I had anticipated, and had an experience of ascending down in and kind of going down through with a glass elevator on all sides so that I could see into the city of Telos, sort of the sun, its sun shining in, the hydroponics and all that sort of thing. And just witnessing all those things before I kind of, you know, hit the ground and the door opened with a thud, Adama's there. And of course, my head pops up and I'm awake, you know, and it's kind of over, right? So for me, being new to all this, because I know you're, you know, highly skilled in this area, and so is Deborah and so many others, and all your listeners as well. It for me to go up there and experience this, you know, thank you for sharing that all with me. I kind of sometimes felt like I was the IT support system helping everyone with the technology, you know, night vision cameras and charging phones and various things like that. Fair enough. I'll contribute where I can. And thanks for giving back, because it was the best experience. I'm glad I'm only a 5 or 6 hours away, because I'm telling you, there will be many a weekend where I don't even know why, but I'm in my car and I'm heading in that direction, and it's happening, you know?
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, thank you, Brad. We'll get back to you here. We've got, I want to get to Don first, but welcome, David. David, are you there on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good, David. Hello. I'm so glad you could call in. Yeah, please wait just a few minutes. I want to introduce Don. She's been patiently waiting, then I'll go to you in just a minute here. Anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could come in. Don, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I've got a little bit of a smoker's cough. I'm like, I'm in the Bay Area too. We're right at the southern tip of the Napa Valley Corridor. And so usually I'd be underneath my redwood tree and my turquoise leather chair, but the smoke is so bad here. So if you hear me, I'm trying to like drink while I'm here. But that's why I'm not a smoker, but
well
we're all smokers now. The smoke area and Napa especially, with the air quality index was over 200 yesterday. It's like stay inside, turn on your AC.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, I'll be doing prayers for rain to stop the fires. I'll be going over what's going on with the fires, and at about 11 a.m. here. But it may be 11:05, 11:10, depending on how the show goes. But Don, what happened to you up in the mountain? I just wanted to ask your impressions.
I loved meeting y'all. It was a great experience. And for me, I actually went up to the mountain to meet Ted in person and to interview Ted. So normally I'm not like part of the story. and they don't get immersed. And another thing is, usually when I interview people, I study before I go ahead, and I ask questions that like aren't always asked, because I really study what I'm doing. But this time, I'd only seen one interview with you, one radio show that you did. And I read your bio a little bit, and the rest I just wanted to leave. I didn't want to get any preconceived ideas. I just wanted it to be really organic. And I'm like Deborah. The first time I went to Mount Shasta, I was called to it. My parents moved to California in 1976, and I moved out here to California in 1996. I'd never heard anything about Mount Shasta. I didn't know anything about it, but the first time I heard of it, it calls me. There was this pull. And so I've been up there many times. When I heard you were going to be there, I have no idea why. I was pulled. I had to go there. And it was like I said, usually I'm really organized. I'm very planned, and I know what I'm going to ask. I mean, I had some ideas, but I was just pulled. And then when I met these people that I'd never seen in my life, I wasn't planning on really like anything like this. I just fell in love with everybody would open and they would speak. And it's like, oh my gosh, usually when I talk like this, people look at me like, what are you talking about? These people are speaking my language. It was so very cool to be around that you just get it. When they're saying things, they get it. You don't have to explain. You don't have to do any of this. And, when I first laid eyes on Ted, I'm walking. He's like, are you in a black sweater? Yes, I am. Are you in coral colored pants? Yes, I am. I turn around, there's Ted. And it's like just this big old hug. And I just fell in love again immediately.
Oh, and thank you.
Yeah, so that was so cool. And when we were going home, I wanted to stay longer, but I had to get home. My mom is not feeling so good. I have a business, so I had to get home.
Let's send some love and light to your mom so your mom will feel better. All of us take a minute and send lots of love and light to Don's mom. I know that'll really help. Just for a minute to help her feel better. And I'm going to get to David in a minute, but I want everyone to put two hands over their heart right now and send lots of love and light to the Pleiadians, especially a Pleiadian Admiral Halosaurus. He helped in the healings on the trip as well and gave us protection so we wouldn't have any problems. And I also want to send lots of love and light to Adama, the high priest of Telos, and the beautiful people of Telos for giving us so many wonderful healings. I know a lot of people received spiritual and physical healings during the trip, and I want to thank them for their help and for their protection and love. They just told me that by this time next year, as when Mount Shasta goes fully into the fifth dimension, that when we're up in the mountain again next year, they'll be walking around us because we'll be at the same dimension they are. We won't need to travel in the astral plane anymore to Telos because they will be in the same dimension. We'll simply walk, and they'll meet us. So we'll have breakfast together, they said. So I said, great, great. Great. That's great. That's great. Don, tell us briefly about your publication real quick. Go ahead and promote your work. I'd like for you to do that if you can.
Thank you. It's Living Life Boomer Style, and we have a lot of different categories in it. And when I started our business, it kind of took me away from the magazine. And I miss it. I love writing and I love photography. And so I miss doing it. But, you know, you gotta follow the rice bowl. And lately, I just had this pull that somebody said something, and they said, in this ascension process, we all have gifts. Like Brad said about being the IT person up there, which is really important. You may not think it's a gift, but if we couldn't get something working and you could fix it, it's just like huge. And Deborah with the healing, and James just there being like the background and the support and showing us that phenomenal amethyst. They said everybody has a gift, no matter how large or small, whether it's just to meditate, to bring us.
That's true.
So lately I feel like I have to get out and write and document and photograph and share this with people, that because I'm in the Bay Area, and I talk to people, and they kind of don't know about things that I say. And I think because I read and I listen while I'm working, I always have something that I'm listening to. And it's like, I realize that I need to, for me right now, my calling is I have to, like, not be a translator, but kind of like a translator of breaking it down just to small little chunks of, like, here is a natural way of healing this way. There's a natural way of healing that way, whether it's looking at your eyes or palmistry or meditation. There's so many ways, and kind of like going into Baskin Robbins where there's 51 flavors, whatever kind of sings to you will work.
Sure. Absolutely. And, yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Dawn. Is there a website people could go to for your magazine? Yeah. If you could get that up?
Easy. LivingLikeBoomerStyle.com.
LivingLikeBoomerStyle.com. Okay. Okay. Great. Great. Well, please stay on, Don. We'll come back to you. And I want to bring my friend David on now. David, thanks so much for calling in. And it's so good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Ken. It's been a pleasure meeting everybody. But even as I sit here communicating with you all, I feel all of the energy still flowing through.
Oh, good. Oh, good. If you could turn up your volume a little bit, David, so we could hear you, that would be great. Could you share with my listeners and my friends here what happened to you up in the mountain?
I have, can you hear me?
Yes, just fine. Yeah.
Okay. I had been to the mountain on five other occasions in September, and with me and just another gentleman to meditate. But as a group, the collective energy of all was so amazing. I received so much, but also on the visual, I did a lot of, hovering above everybody, which was so amazing. It was so beautiful. And that was the first time as far as me hovering above, everybody received differently. And that was a lot of mine, not only receiving the frequency, but talking to like-minded people that know what all of the other beautiful spiritual awakening that we are coming into.
Well, great, David. I want everyone right now, hope you don't mind me asking this, David, want everyone right now to send lots of healing, love and light to David. And to help him feel better. I know you've had a few issues recently, and I want to send lots of love and light. Is that okay, David?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. If everyone could send lots of love and light to David to help him heal and feel better, I know it'd be really appreciated, especially Adama and Etmahalosaurus, my friends aboard the Pleiadian mothership. So everyone just take a minute, send lots of love and light. Golden yellow and golden yellow light is a very healing color. And I think that would be really good to help him. Oh, good. Good, David. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the trip. Both you and your son have such beautiful energy, and I'm really happy you came on. Well, we've got about, I'm going to fudge it a little bit, having my first show is theoretically ends in 10 minutes, but I think we'll need a little more time, so maybe 15 minutes to go. Who's next? Okay, James, go right ahead, my friend.
I forgot to give a message. As why the female captain give me the her mothership's numbers, right? And this is for that all the humans out there, they're flying the triangle ship. The ship numbers are printed on the front of the hull on right side and left side. They can see a ship number. So when you see those ship numbers, it's a confirmation. That means all you guys, humans, they can shoot you out of the sky, no problem at all. But I just start thinking a little bit, stop point the laser into California, point it somewhere else, point it to a desert in China or somewhere else, but don't hurt the earth. Just like convert now, just come over right now. I'm not asking you a lot. It's like maybe just do it for 3 months or something. Mm-hmm. Somebody like type up some program. So when the laser fire will not fire in California, I know all you have loved ones on Earth and Cabal hold you hostage. But when you guys out there flying the triangle ship, you can see the mothership was the ship number print on right side and left side from the hall. Right. And it's confirmation for you. That's why they show the number.
Well, that's great. If I call that number on my telephone, can I call her up now on it, or what? Is that possible? Or
they say the bad guy cannot board a ship with that number. But we actually just with the number she's showing it to me. Actually, she was showing me. Where is it?
The numbers below. Yeah, that's the insignia there.
Yeah, but on the left and right hand side, like a wing coming up, form a circle. Like a wing coming up like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a hieroglyphic on either side of a number. So that's what is her number.
Oh, that's great. That is so special you shared that with us, James. You know, you also do acupuncture too, don't you?
Yes, I do a little acupuncture, trying to heal myself, but unsuccessfully. It's been dragging on and on. I understand, like, if you need to heal, you need to heal on the higher dimension.
Right.
Astral plane from there will come down to you,
right,
and you will eventually get healed.
Right, right. Well,
a lot of times karma and things, so you don't heal on that level, and you heal on ground level, which are reoccurring.
Mm-hmm.
It will never stop.
Yeah, wow, that's great. That's great. I'm inviting you all. We're going to keep going here for another 10, 12 minutes, and the first part of the second segment, we'll be doing some prayers for rain for California and other parts of the country that are hit by fires. So I'd love to have you all participate. Deborah, Don, or Brand, or David, would you like to add to what James just said?
Well, another highlight of my trip was when we were going to the pizza parlor. Remember that, Ted? April and I were following you,
right,
and then we saw that giant ship hidden behind a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I took a picture of it. Often the Pleiadian ships, the Pleiadian ships will do it, but more often it's the ships from Telos in the Hollow Earth. Well, they'll go inside a cloud, and the cloud will be there, and you'll have this huge round cloud that the weather people here call them lenticular clouds.
Mm-hmm.
But they never ask, the meteorologists never ask, gee whiz, maybe there's something inside the cloud. So.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then when we got down to the pizza parlor, it was just hovered right there, you know? It was just like hanging. And then I had a little bit of a experience with the Sasquatch. I didn't actually see them physically, but April had asked me to sleep in her teepee. I shouldn't say this. I'm sorry, April. She was a little bit afraid of the dark. She was working on that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So she asked me, you know, so I brought my sleeping bag and my roll and set up in her teepee. And the next morning, something happened to my tent. All the stakes were out of it. And I don't know, it was kind of like all tipped in. It was very strange. And David, I think you talked about this as well. And if you have something you want to add, please do. You said you saw it was tipped over and there was no wind that night.
Yeah. Well, the Sasquatch do like earth women. And so I just want to let you know, it was funny, but a year ago on my other trip, there was a fellow, he was a Buddhist priest actually, came out from the East Coast, and he found the living quarters for this female Sasquatch. And I said, hey, you could have a girlfriend if you want. I mean, you know, if you like Sasquatch. And anyway, he just laughed it off. But there have been instances where they have produced children. I want to show everyone, if we can see this. This is on my phone.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the ship.
That's the ship there. It's actually hidden behind that cloud. Now, let me show you another one here real quick. Often you'll see the... you'll see the same thing on top of the mountain too, and they're using that just to hide their spacecraft. Hold on here, I'll find it. But there's a lot more than meets the eye. When I was at Mount Shasta 4 years ago, and there was a huge on my Facebook post. I'd have to get it out, but on my Facebook post there was this huge circular cloud that was round and looked like a hat box right on top of the mountain. And that was hiding a mothership, I'm told, as well, Benevolence. Let's see here. I know I have it. Here we go. This one is another picture of it's clouds right on top of the mountain. And it's hiding, if you can see it, it's hiding a mothership there. They go right in and out of the mountain. And the thing is, too, if you're up there at the top of the mountain, you'll often see the ships go flying in and out. The top of the mountain will open up literally, and you'll see this orb just shoot out and shoot in. So it's amazing up there. The vibrations are very high. I can feel it today. I'm almost giddy. But it feels great. It feels really good. And like Brad, what you were saying, you don't need to eat as much because you're kind of living off what the Hindus say, prana, the energy of the earth.
I think so. Yeah. You know, that one time we got in the car and drove way out there and got completely out of cell service and we found the lake. You were swimming in the lake and there were lily pads and things out there. Remember that?
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was all of these green rocks that were out there as well. Mm-hmm. Remember the name of those?
Green serpentine.
Serpentine, exactly. I was showing that to Deborah and she said, you know, you can really just carry that around with you and that can be pretty darn powerful, but you can actually just walk around. You can get these in this crystal shops, of course, but if you go out to that lake, you can actually find really nice specimens out there. Do you remember the name of the lake?
It's got a silly name, like Jump Off Joe or Tea Kettle Lake or something silly. It's something
like that. Every lake we ran into, you know, it's like Ted jumps into his phone booth and changes into his swimsuit and then bang, he's in that lake swimming away for sure. Just like Heart Lake. When we got to Heart Lake way above Castle, you jumped in there and we got some great photos there. Beautiful day.
Yeah. Heart Lake is named because it's shaped like a heart and you can feel the love when you're there and it's up at the top. You can see all over the valleys over to Mount Shasta and everything. It was an amazing experience. And David, would you like to add anything to that?
That was such a wonderful hike up there. And the beauty from the top was just like I had even more energy to keep going. I go just absorbing it all. But it was so wonderful to see everybody, how joyful they were and sharing the experience that you brought us there, you know. I didn't know anything about that until you showed us all of these beautiful high energy spots that we just all bask in all of its beautiful energy.
Oh, well, thank you, David, so much for saying that.
Can I say something about Heart Lake?
Sure. Go ahead.
It was kind of hard to find like the trail, like, cause I guess I was sort of a frontier. So I was like ahead of everybody. It was just like, oh, are we gonna find it? Like, where is it? You know?
Yeah.
And then when we did find it and you're looking down at it, you can totally see that heart shape. But I took a bath in there. Mm-hmm. I didn't bring any soap or anything like that, but I did go in and it was I felt like it was really it was the first bath or shower I'd taken in several days. And it felt really good.
Yeah. But one thing I want to tell people, there's some sacred springs in the Shasta area. And for example, when you go up there's sacred springs at Mount Shasta in the city park there. And you put your crystals in the city park in the water there. The crystals will start glowing afterwards after you leave it in there for a few minutes, which is just amazing when you think about it. There's so many wonderful spiritual places up there. I still feel I'm still here. I feel the energy, feeling really good. And I want to thank you all for coming on this wonderful spiritual trip. I'll be going back to Mount Shasta next year again. For more information, please see my website at outofthisworldreadings.com and click on spiritual trips and you can get all the information there if you like.
And but, you know, I'll throw another note in here for your book, Ted, as well.
Okay.
I got this from you while I was up there and was able to read it there in my tent, looking up at, you know, the stars in the skies and so forth. It's a brilliant read. You just get sucked in from beginning to end. It tells a great story. I loved it. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. If people want the book, they can get it on Amazon or they can just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com and includes, if you get it, you can get it from Amazon or if you get it from me, you get a brief free reading and anyway, just $20. And my email again is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I want you all to hang on here, if you don't mind, for the second hour, because I'm going to do some prayers and meditation for the fires here in California. And I'm sure everyone has their opinions as to why it's happening, but anyway, we can go into that now. One thing I love about BBS Radio is that the other commercial stations that I've been on, you know, they take breaks for weather and sports and news and stuff, and that's fine. But during the time at BBS, it's a continuous thing for a full 2 hour block, and I don't have to take a break for news, sports, and weather. If you're interested in news, sports, and weather, you can always get that from the other stations. But anyway, this is the second hour of Out of This World Radio, broadcasting live today from Lafayette, California, in the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area. And I want to thank everyone so much for all their love and support. My shows are supported by entirely by donor contributions. And if you'd like to donate, please go to my website at www.outofthisworldradio.net and donate whatever you like. Real brief, this is a beautiful book produced by the Emoto office in Tokyo called Messages from Water. The director of the project is from the Emoto Peace Project. Director of the project is Mr. Kohayashi from Japan. And it summarizes the beautiful work of Dr. Emoto. He found that if you send positive thoughts to a glass of water, it turns into these beautiful crystal patterns here. This is love and gratitude on a glass of water. And then they take the water and look at it under an electron microscope, and you see these beautiful water crystals. On the other hand, if you send negative thoughts to a glass of water, like "you fool," it all breaks down into these ugly patterns. So the message of these books is that to create a better world, you teach children to love and gratitude and to be positive in their outlook. And I think this is especially important, not only for children, but also for adults as well, because we've faced many challenges, as everyone knows, this year. But I know that things will get better. Going back to my book, Messages from the Masters, all my great spirit friends, including Albert Einstein, President John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Nostradamus, Benjamin Franklin, Nikolai Tesla, Mahatma Gandhi, and of course, Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, they all say we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. So we have to remember that when dealing with some of the issues we're facing today. We also have, for those interested and those at home who are homeschooling their kids, if they're stuck at home or they're just homeschooling their kids, we also are selling these for a minimal charge of like $15 homeschool kits to show children how they can learn from this love and gratitude. They've done rice experiments at the Emoto office in Tokyo, where they'll take like three bowls of rice or three jars of rice. And the first bowl is to ignore it. The second bowl is to send negative thoughts to it. And the third bowl is to send positive thoughts, including lots of love and light to it. And what's interesting is that the jar that you send lots of positive thoughts to it lasts forever. It never rots, never gets stale or anything. The second bowl, where you send negative thoughts to it, it definitely deteriorates. And after a couple of weeks, you can see it starts getting mold. The third bowl that you completely ignore is the worst, because it's not receiving any energy at all. So it teaches children and adults that our thoughts are powerful, and we can make a difference in the world by thinking positive thoughts.
「光る星」